Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo needs free hand to pick cabinet. Indonesian government plans to establish vocational education committee. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has an ambitious list of goals for his next term, improving education and health care, providing a social safety net, and developing infrastructure. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati recently said that what the president needs, though, is the power to pick a team capable of helping him achieve them. Minister Sri Mulyani said that the president needs to have a free hand to decide what team he wants to choose in order for him to deliver, as well as to accelerate the development that he already initiated. The former World Bank Managing Director told Bloomberg TV's Haslinda Amin that Jokowi may need to turn to the private sector to help with the infrastructure development by providing mechanisms to attract investors. The president, she said, would also want to distribute wealth more evenly to lower the poverty rate to below 9%. The Indonesian government discussed a plan to establish a vocational education committee that would manage a number of matters related to the subject. As quoted by Antara News Agency Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, after a meeting with President Joko Widodo at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday, said that the government has reviewed and discussed establishing a committee to manage all matters relating to vocational education. The committee was intended to increase the capabilities of human resources in Indonesia and to accelerate their development. She also said the training is focused in accordance with Indonesia's future needs. Meanwhile, Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono pointed out that President Joko Widodo expected vocational education to be more widespread. He explained that the president wants more focused trainings in ministries and institutions. Moreover, Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro has been asked to plan the development of vocational education. The Industry Ministry hopes that the Industrial 4.0 system unleashes opportunities for Indonesia to become an Internet of Things business ecosystem to fortify the structure of digital technology to apply the fourth industrial revolution. Furthermore, Indonesia will evolve into an IoTO Internet of Things business ecosystem worth 444 trillion rupiah in 2022. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director of the Electronics and Telematics Industry of the Ministry of Industry, Janu Suryanto, on Tuesday said that the opportunity for Indonesia to become an IoT ecosystem is huge. This potential can also be gauged from the number of internet users in the country, reaching over 140 million people. Essentially, the transformation to Industry 4.0 is the key to the success of Indonesia's future development. Suryanto opined that implementing Industry 4.0 will additionally promote greater investment by firms, particularly those related to the utilization of the latest technology, such as Internet of Things. The step is expected to facilitate greater productivity of competitiveness in the manufacturing sector and give rise to an innovation ecosystem. The Ministry of Agrarian and Spatial Planning, National Land Agency, has accelerated the legalization of land registration in the context of realizing agrarian reforms, including avoiding land conflicts and disputes. Minister of Agrarian and Spatial Planning, head of the BPN or National Land Agency, Sofian A. Jalil, in a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, said that land registration was also useful to people who wanted to expand their business by handing over their certificates to banks. He also said it was also in line with Article 19 of Law No. 5, Year 1960, concerning basic agrarian principles, wherein, to guarantee legal certainty by the government, land registration was conducted in all regions of the Republic of Indonesia according to the provisions regulated by government regulations. Minister Sofian Jalil also said that the government will resolve conflicts. The process is adjusted to the legal certainty that applies. In addition, he also revealed that the issue of land disputes between the indigenous people of Senama Nenek in Kampar District, Riau, and private companies was resolved. This news comes to you over Voice of Indonesia. National Development Planning Agency Bappenas Chief Bambang Brojonegoro said that the planned relocation of the country's capital city would not affect forests, and that the new capital would adopt a green city design. As quoted by Tempo.com, Bambang at the Presidential Staff Office in Jakarta on Monday said that for sure the government wants the move not to affect the environment, which is why the government is looking for locations near existing cities. He also explained the Indonesian government has yet to unveil the exact location of Jakarta's replacement and maintains that the location must be legally available so as to minimize the procurement cost and land disputes. Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta on Monday said that Indonesia plans to open up more sectors to foreign investors and reboot its stringent labor laws to become a regional manufacturing powerhouse rivaling Germany and South Korea. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, the minister also explained that President Joko Widodo's government will rely on automotive, chemicals and electronics industries to push the contribution of manufacturing sector to 25% of the nation's economy by 2025 from 20% now. He said the move may help boost exports from Southeast Asia's largest economy and tackle its current account deficit. Explained, Indonesian target is to be the manufacturing hub of ASEAN. Indonesia will seek to eclipse Germany and South Korea and match up to China as a base for making everything from electric vehicles to petrochemical products. And the last item, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, through the Directorate General of New Energy, Renewable and Energy Conservation, has set the price of the biofuel market index for the month of May at 39 rupiah per liter, a decline from the price in April. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the Communication Public Information Service and Cooperation Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Agung Pribadi at the Supreme Court in Jakarta on Monday said that this price determination will take effect from May 1, 2019. Based on data compiled by Antara News Agency in Jakarta, from the website of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, the price of biodiesel is set at 7,348 rupiah per liter and bioethanol at 10,195 rupiah per liter. Agung also added that the price of biofuel was also used in the implementation of the mandatory B20 and was valid for mixing diesel oil for certain types of fuel oil and general types of fuel. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo needs free hand to pick cabinet. Indonesian government plans to establish vocational education committee. And listeners, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia for the World. Indonesia has begun to show his leadership in the United Nations Security Council. The Indonesian leadership is represented by Ambassador Dian Trihansa Chani, Indonesian permanent envoy to the United Nations. On Monday, May 6, 2019 local time, Dian Triansacani as the president of the UN Security Council. In May 2019, accompanied Secretary General of the United Nations to ignite an eternal fire in the bid to commemorate the services of UN personnel who failed to fight for peace. Two of the deceased were Indonesian citizens, the late Chief Private Nasri bin Bahri, a member of the UN peace mission in Darfur, and the late Harina Hafiz from the World Food Program. Today, May 7, 2019, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, leads the UN Security Council open session. With the theme, Investing in Peace, Improving Safety and Performance of the Peacekeeping of the United Nations, the UN enhances the security and safety of the UN peacekeepers. This has become one of Indonesia's focuses. Given the track record and capacity of Indonesia, interests, domestic support, and other members of the United Nations, as well as the challenges faced by the UN Security Council, the distribution of Indonesian posts to the UN ranks 8 out of 124 participating countries. According to data from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Indonesia sent 3,080 personnel. 106 are women. Indonesia targets to place 4,000 personnel in Paris UN peace missions. The Indonesian presidency in the UN Security Council is a momentum and opportunity to prove Indonesia's ability to face challenges and encourage the creation of stability and peace, especially in conflicting regions. Indonesian progress as a chair of the UN Security Council in May 2019 is awaited by many countries. At least the United States is looking forward to it. Deputy State Secretary of the United States for Political Relations, David Hale, in his meeting with Minister Retno Marsudi at the end of April 2019, said that he was waiting for Indonesia to occupy the presidency of the UN Security Council. An Indonesian strong commitment on various issues in the UN Security Council, including peacekeeping forces. Indonesia's commitment to peacekeeping forces is undoubted. However, Indonesia cannot be alone. Major contribution to the investment in good quality peacekeeping operation delivery from many parties is needed, because the role of peacekeeping is increasingly important towards the ongoing conflicts and wars in several countries. Hopefully, the Indonesian leadership in the UN Security Council will improve Indonesian track record in contributing and participating in maintaining world peace, and at the same time ensuring that many parties must continue to invest in peace. So it's simple wish of Indonesia, as expressed by Ambassador Dian Triansacani, to save as many lives as possible while making peacekeeping as efficient as possible in the conflicting regions throughout the world. This must be realized and maintained. Of course, world community support is also needed. Well, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, we'll begin with May 7, 1945. Nazi Germany surrender unconditionally to the Allies during the Second World War. May 7, 1945 was the beginning of the end of the Second World War, marked by Nazi Germany's decision to surrender unconditionally to the Allies in fighting in Europe. An unconditional submission document was signed by General Gustav Joll of Germany, Allied Commander General Battlesmith of the United States, General Ivan Susloparov of Russia, and General François Savas of France. Return to May 7, 1949, Rome-Ryan Agreement. The Roemrooyan Agreement is an agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands which began on April 14, 1949 and was finally signed on May 7, 1949 at the Des Indes Hotel, Jakarta. His name was taken from the two delegation leaders, Muhammad Roem and Herman Van Rooyen. This agreement was very thorough, requiring the presence of Bung Hatta from exile in Bangka. Also, the 9th Sultan Hamengkubuwono from Yogyakarta to reinforce the position of government of the Republic of Indonesia in Yogyakarta. The 9th Sultan Hamengkubuwono asserted Yogyakarta is the Republic Indonesia. I'll end today in history with May 7, 1992, Space Shuttle Endeavour launch. Endeavour is the youngest spacecraft owned by NASA. This spacecraft was meant to replace the Challenger that had an accident on in 1986. In 1986, and killed 7 astronauts. Endeavour began to develop on February 15, 1982 and launched for the first time into space on May 7, 1992. Endeavour is one of the 3 space shuttles that are still operating in the NASA fleet, United States Space Agency. The other 2 spacecraft are Discovery and Atlantis. That was Today in History.
Thank you.
There was the song entitled Terpesona, sung by Glenn Fredly featuring Audi. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's Indonesia, My Indonesia, is Indonesian France Business Forum in Strasbourg brings about opportunity of Indonesian non-oil and gas export. Deputy Chief of Republic of Indonesia charged the first of the Indonesian embassy in Paris, Agun Kurniadi, opened Indonesia-France Business Forum in Strasbourg City on 30 April 2019. The event was attended by 37 French business people from Strasbourg City and Alsel region, as well as companies from Indonesia such as Masindo, Raspora, and Trading House Indonesian Incorporated. As quoted from kemlu.go.id, Agun Kurniadi said that Indonesia has a serious tension to Strasbourg City and Alsel region in France, which play a major role in the French economy and its network to the global economy. About 35% of companies in Alsace region is funded from the foreign capital. In the forum, the speaker of Indonesian embassy in Paris delivered the latest information relative to macroeconomic and Indonesian trade opportunities. On the occasion relative to macroeconomics, a number of policies to increase competitiveness, a conducive business climate, business opportunity in Indonesia, and facilities to increase trade relations between the two countries were highlighted. The Indonesian trade attaché invites French entrepreneurs to participate in the Indonesian Trade Expo, TEI, which is one of the largest trade shows in Asia. TEI will be held on 16 until 20 October 2019. The Indonesian-France Business Forum also raised a testimonial session, namely sharing information from Indonesian and French business people who already have businesses with Indonesia. Indonesian Incorporated Trading House and Rasbora Kabis state that there are a variety of products chosen by Indonesia and potential cooperation. Meanwhile, from a large French company, Meslin, represented by Nora Quidert, shared 20-year successful experience operating in Indonesia. In general, the Indonesia-France Business Forum is Strasbourg City, produce potential order of Indonesian non-oil products worth around €65,000. On the occasion, a business-to-business cooperation agreement was signed between Paris-based Trading House Indonesia Incorporated and Liwaron Coffee Shop to develop a partnership in a bid to open a coffee shop in Montmartre area, Paris. It is hoped that the establishment of cafes in the popular area of Paris will increase the knowledge of the French people about the delicacy of Indonesian coffee and increase the export of Indonesian coffee. In the future, the Indonesian embassy in Paris will hold two similar activities, the high-level Indonesian Investment Infrastructure Forum in July 2019 and the Business Forum in September 2019 in Paris. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Begitu sedap dipandang seolah. begitu sedap dipandang seolah. Ku ingin selalu tersenyum, tapi aku malu padamu. Sedang jatuh cinta, mengapa semua begitu indah dilihat, begitu sedap dipandang, seolah ku ingin selalu tersenyum, tapi aku malu padamu.
That was the song entitled Prahara Cinta, sung by Hedi Yunus. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce Toruan Waterfall. Stay tuned. Madura is one of islands in the northeast of East Java. The island is well known as Salt Island. Madura Island is no less beautiful compared to Bali and Lombok Island. During traveling to Madura, you can visit a beautiful Toruan waterfall, which is located at Ketapang Daya Village, Ketapang Sub-District. The 20-meter high waterfall has its own uniqueness because it is located at Nepa Beach and directly adjacent to the high seas. The water spill of the waterfall unites into the sea through its estuary. Toruan waterfall can be accessed by using private or public vehicle. The road access is quite good with a distance of 105 kilometers from Surabaya, the capital city of East Java. You can use ferry from Tanjung Perak Port or through Suramadu Bridge. After crossing to Madura Island, you can go to Sampang City. Arriving at Sampang, you can directly go to Ketapang Daya Village, Ketapang Sub-District. Arriving at Ketapang, visitors should walk around 50 meters to the location. To enjoy the uniqueness of the waterfall, you must pay parking fee of 5,000 rupiah for a two-wheel vehicle and 10,000 rupiah for four-wheel vehicle. The water flows from Payung River. When high tide, The scenery of the waterfall and sea unite beautifully without being limited by the land. When the dusk arrived, you will be spoiled by beautiful sunrise among two different spots. Various unique types of stone and sand, which are located along the seashore, become another enchantment of Toroan Waterfall. If you want to feel the fresh of the waterfall closer, you should be careful because Toroan Waterfall has a bulk depth of approximately 2 meters. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Kuhampiri engkau meski kau jauh. Sendiri ku tempuh hanya untuk bertemu denganmu. Ku hampiri engkau meski kau jauh. Namun hatimu telah runtuh dan buatku terjatuh. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa hati yakin untukmu. Tak pernah tahu betapa aku merindukanmu.
Tak jua kau hiraukan aku.
You have just listened to the song entitled Intuisi, sung by Yura Yunita. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesia. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, with the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is taksi daring, or in English means online taxi. Next, I will give an example on a conversation on taksi daring, or in English means online taxi. Tony is in the taxi to Joko's house. On the way, Tony wants to be at the supermarket.
Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu?
Oh, baik, Pak.
Tolong tunggu sebentar ya, Bu.
Iya, Pak, silakan.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely taksi daring, which means online taxi. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Berhenti. Berhenti, which means stop. Stop. Toko. Toko, which means shop. Shop. ATM. ATM, which means ATM. ATM. Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? Which means sorry, can you stop at the store first? Sorry, can you stop at the store first? Tolong tunggu sebentar ya. Tolong tunggu sebentar ya, which means please wait a moment. Please wait a moment. When on the trip, if you want to ask the driver to stop first in a place, say, maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? Which means, sorry, can you stop at that shop first? Or you can also say, tolong berhenti dulu di toko itu. Tolong berhenti dulu di toko itu, which means please stop at the store first. Please stop at the store first. There is another expression for this, that is by using the word mampir. Mampir, which means stop by. Stop by. For example, bisa mampir dulu di toko itu? Bisa mampir dulu di toko itu? Which means, can you stop by the store first? Can you stop by the store first? Next, to ask someone else to wait, say, Tolong tunggu sebentar. Tolong tunggu sebentar. Which means, please wait a moment. Please wait a moment. Or, in a question sentence, bisa tunggu sebentar? Bisa tunggu sebentar? Which means, can you wait a minute? Can you wait a minute? Another example. Tolong mampir dulu di ATM ya. Tolong mampir dulu di ATM ya. Which means, please stop by the ATM please. Please stop by the ATM please. Bisa tunggu sebentar? Bisa tunggu sebentar? Which means, can you wait a minute? Can you wait a minute? Ya, saya akan tunggu. Ya, saya akan tunggu. Which means, yes, I'll wait. Yes, I'll wait. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu?
Oh, baik, Pak.
Tolong tunggu sebentar ya, Bu.
Iya, Pak, silakan.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you.
I can bear recording. It is more than just physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you. And I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart. Saying this to your dad, sir. Can I?
That was Kau Adalah, sung by Isyana featuring Rayiran. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 33 to 5 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we will inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's nice to meet you again with me, Hernita, in the segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a song entitled Engkau Laksana Bulan, sung by Hamdan Atete. The song Engkau Laksana Bulan was composed by P. Ramlee. The song tells about love between a couple lover who have different social class so that they cannot be together. Love only leaves regret. In accordance with the lyric, which tells about sadness and sorrow, the song has slow tempo. The song Engkau Laksana Bulan is included in Pop Malay album of Hamdan Atete Volume 2. Hamdan Atete, or Hamdan Atamimi, was born in Maluku on January 27, 1950. He is more popular as dangdut singer than Malay singer. No wonder tons of dangdut albums have been produced by Hamdan Atete. Listener, here is Engkau Laksana Bulan by Hamdan Atete. Enjoy the song.
Sana bulan tinggi di atas kayangan, hatiku dah kau tawan, hidupku tak keruan. Oh, mengapa ku disiksa? Kenapa kita bersua, berjumpa dan bercinta, tetapi menderita? Apakah kau kita bersua, berjumpa dan bercinta. Tetapi menderita.
Voice of Indonesia.
Padamu, sekali lagi padamu, ku bawakan rindu yang kau pesan. Putu, aku di sini untukmu, sekali lagi untukmu, percayalah tak lagi kau gundah. Merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Hidup adalah tentangmu, selalu saja tentangmu. Sepertinya kau adalah candu bagiku. Kau buat aku tak mampu, selalu saja tak mampu menahan perasaanku atas dirimu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu.
Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.